Welcome to the Terror Dome, baby.
We swarm, baby.
Welcome to the Terror Dome.
We swarm, let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby, all day long.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, baby. Tales from the Terror Dome. It's the off season, but there has been no shortage of spiciness, whatever you want to call it. You know, it feels like we're kind of like at the amusement park, what we call Hokey Land. I don't know. You know, like you start on the roller coaster at the bottom. You know, Chris Marv gets let go. We lose the bowl game, whatever. And then the portal season happens and it starts rising up. The hope starts rising up. We start getting a little excited because Pry and Company, they're pulling the people in. People are coming to Tech. We've upgraded the safety room. We've upgraded the offensive line. We got a hell of an offensive line coach. We've upgraded the running back room. Well, upgraded as far as volume goes, but it's going to be hard to replace quality and Bashel Tootin, like you all know, but they did their best. And then, you know, we're at that part of the roller coaster where it just dives straight down into the water. And that's where we were. We were underwater. Tyler Bowen left to be offensive line coach at The Ohio State University. And, we'll see where we're going. Offensive coordinator, big question. Everyone was like, will it happen quickly? Will it take till May? Like, when will it happen? But it took a roughly around 2 weeks. Coach Pride, you know, he had to get a little vacation action in, which was also a hot topic in the Hokieverse. But, hey, you know what? Coaches don't get much of an opportunity to take vacation. We don't know the ins and outs of the whole thing. I reserve judgment. Take your time. Happy wife, happy life is what they say. I'm not married. I don't know. My guest today might be able to speak to that a little more. Y'all know him, man. Pete B., from Too Deep in the building, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. And I heard you said you hadn't recorded in a little bit. So did you ever get a chance to talk to your listeners about the Bowen departure?
No, but I have some thoughts about it, actually.
Yeah, I'm doing good. And that statement is true. Happy wife, happy life. I just learned that the hard way. She's been asking for a Peloton tread. She's a big runner, but it's cold out. So she wants, you know, a treadmill for the house, which is fine. Treadmills aren't too expensive, but no, she needs the Peloton tread. So after some conversations and some financial figuring out, yeah, we're getting a Peloton tread, and she's happy, and now I'm happy, so we're good.
Are you also gonna use it or no?
I'm gonna try.
Hey, you know what, you just get out there, you know.
Yeah,
just get out
I can
there
run a little bit
best.
I can run a little bit, but yeah, we'll see.
If you've ever met me, it might come to no surprise. I don't like to run. I didn't get this beautiful by running, you know what I'm saying? So like, but, no, I didn't get a chance to talk about the Bowen thing. I actually caught a severe case of RSV that was kicking my ass, for a solid 8 days, probably. I went to Blacksburg I went and watched the women play Notre Dame, which was a good game for the first half. And then it took 21 Hannah Hidalgo points in the second half to beat us. And then I went to wrestling where we absolutely destroyed on that Friday night.
Was that Duke or Pitt? Was Duke, right?
That, yes. No. That was Pitt. Yeah,
either
it was Pitt.
Way. I remember it was like we just dominated and we got a big wrestling match.
No, it was UVA. I'm sorry. My bad. It was UVA.
Oh, it was the UVA one.
Yeah,
we've had
UVA
a lot
match.
Of good matches. Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, Friday I'm going. The weather was calling for, like, 18 inches of snow, and now it's not calling for any. So I booked my hotel, and I'm going to go down and support the boys against NC State, which is a very
–
if you listen
yes.
to this, it's a very heated wrestling rivalry. Like, it's like the definition of WVU, Virginia Tech football blood feud. Like, they hate each other. So it's always chippy. It's always interesting. It's always intense. So definitely –
was it the one was it Sam Latona maybe 2 years ago that got that last second fall?
Andy Smith.
Okay, yeah, and it was against NC State, and it was like the whole – it was amazing. Like those matches are so fun to watch. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Yeah, man, Tyler Bowen took the offensive line coach at position at Ohio State. rumored to have been an Urban Meyer influence there on Ryan Day to pursue him. Don't know if that's true or not. I have feelings about it. I was pretty – you weren't really a Bowen guy. You kind of questioned why it was Marv, not Bowen. And I always understood the people that did that as well. I kind of erred on the side of I was cool with keeping Bowen and understand why Marv went. If they would have got rid of Bowen, I could have understood that too. But they kept him, and I thought maybe like his – he did some good things. They did score a decent amount of points when you look at it on paper, and he was a pretty good recruiter. If he wanted you, he was – I mean, he had a pretty good hit rate on who
he
was
getting.
Brought
in some talented quarterbacks in terms of the recruits coming in and Kyron and they all seem to have a good rapport with them. When you looked at like signing day stuff, all the recruits that he would come on the camera for like seemed to love him. The parents seemed to love him. So that aspect, I think he was good. Like Bowen was a good recruiter. I was never a fan of what he did on the field. I know the offensive line had struggled mightily in his time at Virginia Tech, which obviously affects the offense in general. But he just got hired to be an offensive line coach. So it's like, if he has the expertise to be an offensive line coach at Ohio State, why is our offensive line so bad? I know he's not in that room every day because we had other line coaches, but like that, I can't compute that. Like, I don't know what Ohio State is really doing here, to be perfectly honest. It doesn't make a ton of sense.
So for me, I was like, oh, he's leaving. Like, I wasn't mad. I was kind of indifferent about it. I was like, it puts us in a tough spot because of the timing, you know, because we're about to start off-season stuff. And whereas the coaches can't really be involved until a certain point, much later in the off-season, they're still around and you still, you know, you just had a recruiting class come in. There is a portal window looming in the spring. And then I started to think about this man taking the offensive line job at Ohio State. And I kind of feel like he ran from the grind. Like, you were it was your operation on offense and you willingly left it to take on pay, like position wise, a hell of a demotion. Money wise and prestige of a university as far as football goes in 2025. It's an upgrade for him, but like you willingly sat back and let Ron Crook hijack your offense with a terrible offensive line for 3 years. And now you're going to go be, well, two years, you're going to go be an offensive line coach for Ohio State. So you could have stepped in. If you're good enough to do that, you were good enough to step in that room and be like, listen, we're not doing it this way anymore. Like, because y'all, like, my job is on the line here. Like, I'm getting a bunch of BS because you keep starting Parker or whoever. Like you didn't step in at all. You were just, so now I just feel like you were here collecting the check, dude. What was maybe that's not the case, but the perception is that, like, what, you know what I'm saying?
What,
like,
you
what
just
hell?
Said too is interesting in terms of him running from the grind, and however you want to phrase that, he goes and does this position coach thing. Well, now you're a step farther away from being a head coach if you ever wanted to be one. Like, when you're an OC, if you run a successful offense, you can be a head coach the next year if you have an amazing year. Like, you're so close to running your own program or upgrading and being an OC at a blue blood or something if you do well. And so you finally go out and you get Matt Moore to come in and be your offensive line coach. And it's like, all right, now maybe you even got better puzzle pieces to like put this offense together. You get Kyron coming back for another year and then you leave. He was fearful of what could happen under Coach Pry if we don't have success this year, which I totally get. If he's doing a protection thing, that's fine. But if he wants to be a head coach, you're going backwards, my brother. Like, you're not going to be a head coach anytime soon if you're an O-line coach, even if you're at Ohio State. Like, none of it makes a lot of sense. But the surprise and the position it put us in wasn't optimal.
No, and then it was kind of like, you know, Pry's on his way to meet his wife to go on vacation thinking he finally got it all shored up, and then you just kind of dropped that bomb on him. He gave this man an opportunity, like a real opportunity. Like, he took
to
a chance.
Everything.
Yeah. And then this is like how you like repay him. You know what I'm saying? Like you like leave late later in the cycle. Like you let him know. Allegedly, you let him know after you had the offer. And then like, dude, well, like you let the offensive line be what it was. If you're qualified enough to coach offensive line at Ohio State, you're qualified enough to fix the shit that was going on in Blacksburg.
You would think.
Yeah, you would think.
And you're right about the Urban Meyer recommendation. It had to be that because they worked together at the Jaguars, and Urban has a, you know, a relationship with Ohio State, obviously. So that's all interesting. Now, on the flip side, Dan, Bowen leaving, and you know my opinions on him, as you already said, it could be a silver lining. There could be the idea that, like, okay, this is a chance to get everything right. Like, we had a lot of bad stuff go down last year, a lot of unmet expectations. And was Marv and the strength coach and the offensive line coach enough change? Maybe. But now the whole thing is different. So, like, it's going to be way different. And it could be an opportunity to have a new beginning with a new offensive line. A new offensive line, new offense, new defense, everything.
Yeah, and I mean, you had the whole, like, oh, man, is Neil Brown in town? We don't know. Is he in town? From where I heard it, I believe he was in town. I believe that happened. And then Bruce Feldman puts out that we're targeting Christian Taylor, who was a hot name 2 years ago before he took the Bills job. I mean, Cristobal was interested in bringing him to Miami. So we all start deep diving into his offense and getting excited about all the stuff that he was able to do at William & Mary and just straight ball nerd. What does he learn from Joe Brady and watching Josh Allen being around him all the time in the building? And then it's like, you know, we see that one message board report that's like, yeah, Christian Taylor's in the top three, but probably won't be the choice. It'll be some veteran coach. So we're like, oh, so now we're back at square one. Like, we don't know what's going on. Like, are they full of shit or are they like, are they spot on? Well, they end up being spot on because Pete Thamel tweeted at 7 something this morning that we were hiring Phil Montgomery, former Tulsa head coach and the offensive coordinator of the Stallions. Is that who they are?
Birmingham
yeah,
Stallions.
Birmingham Stallions.
UFL champs.
Yeah, UFL champs, dude. And then you start
reading. I just learned about that. That's crazy. That, like, it, you know, that's probably the least amount of stuff we should talk about is his UFL thing. But right. They did have the best offense in that league this past year.
With Adrian Martinez as the quarterback.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Who was not the – and he won MVP of the league. So, like, I mean, they are – if you think UFL, it's not the NFL, but they were still top talent college players, and he's coaching college now. So, you know what I'm saying?
The, like, coach that he beat in the title? Well, he – like, so obviously Phil wasn't the head coach, but he was the co-OC for the Stallions who beat – the Brahmas. You know who the head coach of the Brahmas is?
I do not know who they are.
Wade Phillips, noted Bummy. Defensive yeah. coach. So, like,
son of bum.
There's like, you know, he beat Wade Phillips to win the title game 25-0. That's kind of all a side note, but it's a fun little side note. He wasn't right. The worst team in the league. That's good.
Yeah. And I mean, you peel back the layers of the onion. You know, he was with Art Briles at Baylor. Oh, he's with Art Briles apparently since high school. Like, they were high school coaches in Texas, and Art brought him along. And then, you know, he coached up RG3, and we've been needing – we got 4 quarterbacks in our room now that are in need of some development. RG3 won a Heisman under his watch, and then he took Bryce Petty, and he had the 2 best years. You lose your Heisman quarterback to the NFL, and then your 2 best years offensively follow that.
When
it's
he was the
crazy.
Solo OC.
Yeah.
Was when they had the number one offense in the country 2 years in a row, and they were number 2 the year before that. So it's his pedigree 10 years ago is why he was such a hot name when Tulsa hired him. Like, when Tulsa hired him in 2015, it was like, all right, this is potentially the next offensive guru coach. And he got to Tulsa, and there was a couple of good years there. And then it kind of started to tail off because his last really good season when they won 10 games was 2016 when we won 10 games. So you know how long ago it was. And that's where the questions start, because the end of Tulsa wasn't great. But then Hugh Freeze hires him to go to Auburn for the 1 year, and or at least when when Hugh Freeze was starting there, that's who he picked. And Hugh Freeze has a reputation of being good on offense. Let's not talk about his other reputation,
Right.
but he has a good reputation for offense. And people think he's a good offensive mind, and he picks Montgomery to run his offense. Well, it didn't work out for a variety of reasons, but that's the end of Tulsa and why he got fired at Auburn. And the fact that his success is so long ago, I think, is why there are questions, right?
Oh yeah, of course. And I think Pry brought that up in the press conference today. He said that they had a very long conversation about Auburn and what happened there. And then he went and did his own research, talked to some people that were on staff there, and they kind of, he didn't say it, but I feel like he was insinuating that Hugh Freeze like kind of messed that up for everybody. 'Cause and then he said that Phil owned his responsibility in the failure that happened at Auburn. Peyton Thorne, not really a great quarterback. But I was reading, Hugh Freeze had said that they're going to run his offense there. So he wasn't running his style of offense. And then it seemed like Hugh Freeze was halfway running the offense and halfway letting him run the
That's what I read
offense.
as well, is that it
Yeah.
seemed
So
like it was messy for sure.
yeah, very murky.
And Freeze wanted a little bit more control, but like Phil's offense didn't allow that necessarily because of certain play calls and whatever else. And it was a mess. And we know that Auburn over the years has been messy, like whether it's from the outside or the inside of the program, like
Yep.
there's a lot of people calling shots down there, and it can get messy.
Well, yeah. I mean, what rhymes with messy is Klessy, and Brian Hartson was down there when he brought the head football cheerleader to run football ops. It's kind of,
Yeah, that was messy too. You're right.
man. But I mean, if you want to talk about, we don't have to, we're not, I'm not going to get into it, but Art Briles didn't have the best name anymore either, but
No, I mean, he's worked for a couple of guys with some questionable
yeah.
integrity. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely.
And I'll say this on the broader side of it too. College football isn't pretty. We know there's a
No.
lot of bad shit that happens, and we love the sport anyway.
Right.
So I'm not gonna kick dirt on his career because he coached under Art Briles and under Hugh Freeze.
Absolutely not.
It's just there's a lot of bad people in this sport, and there's a lot
Yeah.
of great personalities, and there's a lot of good people. But I think he's a good coach, and no one has argued with what Hugh or Briles did on the field.
Right. And I mean, we're getting a disciple of Art Briles, Mike Leach. Like, if we're getting any sort of like competent version of that like offense here, sign me up, because the Pirate and Art Briles, they knew how to score some points. And
They
people
did.
want to talk about Coach Pry's one score loss record. If you win by 18, you don't gotta worry about what score losses, but
Now, that's a good thing you brought up, though, too, because the one score thing is obviously hanging over Pry's head. To bring in a veteran coach, situational football, that term we hear all the time, I have to imagine a guy with the experience of Montgomery is going to help with that. And if you hire another FCS guy, like Sam Sifkis, we went over it. Like, you talked about it with Brian and Colby. I talked about it with my boys. Like, it is good. Like, there could be some really good stuff there, a lot of upside, a lot of, like, the nerdy stuff you mentioned when it came
yeah.
to Taylor. But if you do it with both coordinators, you are doubling down on risk. And for this team at this time, I think we need a veteran presence on one side of the ball.
Yeah. And one more Baylor side note. Kyron Drones can't escape Baylor, man. It's everywhere.
Texas 2VT.
Yeah, it's everywhere. But yeah, you got the young gun. Ready to prove himself, hungry, calm, intensity, might be insane, obsessive, compulsive, football nerd, defensive coordinator. And then you got the like vet that knows how to score. So therefore, I think they should complement each other perfectly in the fact that Sam is going to be able to take some risks and be aggressive, because Phil is going to be able to score enough points that if they are aggressive on defense and the risk doesn't pay off, that we might be able to, outscore this other the opponent, you know. So I'm hoping that's the case. I'm not expecting the perfect world is obviously a lockdown defense with a high octane offense. And if you've watched football long enough, you know that those two don't happen. Like you don't have it's one or the other. Like you, right. you typically, you know.
Because if you do score fast, sometimes you leave your defense hanging out to dry. But I am very curious as to what the offense will look like. Because the history of Virginia Tech and what Pry has always said is more of a run-first approach. I want to run the football. The what this guy has done is generally not that. There's been running aspects to it for sure. And even but if you do go to his Auburn year, they ran the football pretty well. Now, they might have had to do that out of necessity, but they were a pretty good running team, and they called a lot of running plays. And so his scheme is not going to be Baylor. Like, it's not going to be Houston. That's a long time ago. Things adjust.
Yeah.
He's adjusted. Things change. But I would imagine that there's going to be a heavy pass component to whatever that we do. I just hope that there's still, you know, a lot of running as well.
Yeah, I think the way it was looking, he runs a lot of no tight end or one tight end sets previously. And with people that have questions about the Hokies tight end room outside of Benji, that might be a good thing for them if that's what he does. But they like to spread the wide receivers out. There's a lot of quarterback motion and running around, which suits Kyren. If he can – and him being familiar with Kyren already – is good because he recruited him out of high school to Tulsa. But and Coach Pry brought that up today that he didn't have to bring up Kyren Jones, that actually Phil brought Kyren Jones up because he knew who he was, which is good. And I'm hoping, you know, obviously this is big for Kyren's final year because we want to get him to the league. You know, he chose to – he has constantly chose us. So I want to do right by this guy and get him to the next level. And then Pop has shown promise. He's raw. He has promise. It would be – and then the two behind him. Like, developing those athletes in that room is just going to be crucial.
Yeah, and if you can tell Kyren and Pop and Davy and whoever else, Keldon Ryan, another Texas guy, if you can tell those guys, oh, you can learn from the guy who coached RG3 to a Heisman. Like, that's pretty freaking solid. And I would have to imagine that – Kyren Jones' family, being from Texas, is familiar with Phil Montgomery. I would have to. Yeah. Not just because he recruited him, just in general, from the coaching community, from his days at Baylor. I feel like I'm not saying they hired him to keep Kyren. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, it's an easy stamp of approval from Jones and Keldon Ryan if you bring in this kind of guy. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
But we shouldn't necessarily be doing that. We're not trying to please just the immediate recruits. Like, we're trying to build something here. But if it's the added, if you want to get this guy in and the added bonus is your quarterback recruits like him, well, that's good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see what they do because, you know, it seems like Pry doesn't want the coordinators on the road anymore with the new shakeup. So I guess it'll be interesting to see who he chooses for the 10 best in-home recruiters. As long as they can close them when they get to campus, that's all that matters. And this dude, obviously, accolades speak for themselves as far as the numbers and what he's been able to do as far as scoring and all of that. And hopefully, you know, he learned from Auburn. His most recent success, obviously, was the championship, the UFL championship. But yeah, I mean, he's older than what everybody, like, he's like an OG on staff, really, because he's 53. He's around Pry's age. And for the most part, the rest of our staff is fairly young, you know? And I'm excited for what the spring game should be fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, it'll be interesting to see what they run.
They're going to have to run something, right?
Yeah.
But I'm curious as to how much we'll see. But anything is going to be interesting. Like, I especially because the turnover on the roster, like the running back room alone, the safety room alone, like that's what's going to make the spring game fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if they're going to want to show South Carolina anything. Like, that would be my thing about going.
I made a joke I made a joke yesterday. I was like, damn, time to cancel the spring game so South Carolina has no tape. Like, because there's two brand new offense or offense and defense. Like, there's no real, like, what are you going to do? You go watch the Arizona Cardinals? Like, we don't have Buda Baker on our team. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not the same. So, in the same respect, there will probably be some kinks to work out, obviously, in week one against a very good South Carolina team. But then on the flip side, if you're looking at it optimistically, Shane don't really have anything to look at because it's completely, because Pry completely changed philosophies on both sides of the ball with these hires.
They're going to do the Eagles Super Bowl plan. They're going to rush four on us, and they're going to sit back and try to out-athlete us because right now they probably have that advantage. But, and it might work, but I'm just saying, like, they're not going to know what we're doing on either side, and that might be our best chance of success. It's just the element of surprise.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of how Vandy caught us this year. That one, they wanted it more. Apparently, that's what it looked like. And two,
it sure did, yeah.
They just kept punching.
Did you notice during the presser for this announcement that Pry looked, he had to be getting over a cold or something. He looked beat. Like he looked like he had the flu or something like that.
Shoot, maybe. You know, he was down there on vacation.
Yeah, sometimes you catch something coming back.
Yeah, always. Well, in Mexico, they call it Montezuma's Revenge, but I'm not sure exactly where they were. But yeah, maybe he was just, he's probably exhausted, man. It's been a hell of a ride. And even if you're on vacation, it's still going to weigh on you if you have to make some decisions.
Probably taking a lot of calls on that vacation with the way everything played out, you know?
Yeah. I wonder if he got away with taking the laptop down there, you know, a couple of Zooms. But yeah, dude, I think, you know, he said there wouldn't be too many shakeups or anything earth shattering with the staff additions or whatever. I've saw like the dude he hired from WVU is apparently like a prodigy for senior director player of personnel.
Oh, really?
He's 29 years old and he's worn several hats and he started as a student assistant at Alabama with Saban. So that's cool. And then they brought in a girl. I'm not sure of her name. A woman, I should say, who was at UPenn. That's going to be in charge of it. She's like, what, liaison between the admissions and football? I think so.
I think it was a new position. It's her birthday today. I just saw like the thing come across on the Twitter feed.
Hey, Virginia Tech is no slouch on getting into school anymore. Like, you have to have, like, you can't just get in.
It's true.
But if you were getting players into the University of Pennsylvania, Ivy League, then I think you'll be all right getting players into Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I think so. There's a little different criteria for those, those two. No shade on my alma mater, but come on now.
No.
I would say, let's sum up this, like, our overall thoughts on the hire just real quick, because I wanted to close this out before you want to do anything else. It's just that I think the biggest boxes we wanted to check in terms of experience and like Power Four experience, OC play calling, a veteran coach, QB expertise, like he is hitting all those things. Now, are they at the level they were in 2012, 2014? That is the question here. But giving Pry a right-hand man, giving the locker room this type of experience, it's huge. And that QB thing, I mean, we promoted Bowen to be QB coach with no experience. And I thought it could work out. I mean, everybody has no experience until they do something for the first time.
Right.
But with the quarterbacks this guy has coached, if I'm in that room as a young quarterback, I am psyched about this. Like, this is so much better than what I had. And that is a key thing. I know they said Brian Christ is going to be doing a lot of the hands-on stuff with the guys still. But, like, this is like bringing in Cutcliffe. You know, like, that's what this is like.
Yeah, no, I obviously, when the name hit, I wasn't insanely familiar. We had prepared for, like, I thought with the way it happened with Bowen and the timing of how sort of late it was, that if you would have been able to pull Neil Brown, that would have been like, I'm going to put it in quotations, an A hire. Like,
that would have been like the best
for the time.
Do. Yeah,
for the timing. Not a very good head coach, but he had a pretty good offense in the Big 12, I thought. Recruits liked him. They thought he felt like a good dude. which is why they were still able to pull some people. Obviously, had solid individuals in his organization. Like, we hired Matt Moore, who is one of the top he was one of the top available offensive line coaches.
For sure.
And then you had the Christian Taylor stuff, familiarity with the region, up there with the Bills, perceived as an offensive, like, up next type of guy. And then you had, you know, the seasoned vet who failed at Auburn and went to the UFL. Like, now he's coming back to college. Nothing will reinvigorate hunger like falling short. And I mean, he did win the UFL championship, but everyone's talking about what the hell happened at Auburn. So I feel like that's a good motivating factor for him to still want it to work and be hungry and not rest on his laurels.
Yeah. He's going to be paid more handsomely than the UFL too, I would imagine.
Yeah. I am looking forward to, the more you read into his offensive philosophies and stuff, obviously you watch old film or whatever, like, it's definitely optimism, but it's also like a little hesitancy. You know what I'm saying? It's like
it's
a cocktail
a lot
of hopeful.
Different. Like, yeah. Than what we haven't had many different OCs since Beamer. I mean, we've had Loeffler, we've had Korn, and we've had Bowen in a decade, right? Like, it's not been a lot of different guys. So this is a big deal to get a new OC, and one that has had some prolific offenses with a very different style than what we run. I mean, if you remember back to watching RG3, and I'm not sure how much college football you were watching back then or not, but like,
all of it. Yeah.
That
I've
was
never changed.
Such incredible. It was so fun to watch. And Baylor was like this upstart program at the time, and watching RG3 and watching Florence and Bryce Petty do their thing was so fun. Like, it was must-see TV. I remember when Baylor would play WVU when they had Geno, and it was like, these matchups are just, it's like 700 yards from both offenses, just craziness. Yep. Really fun period of time in college football. And now that guy's going to be coaching on our team.
And he had 200,000-yard rushers on those teams too. And then Josh Gordon, obviously, Kendall Wright. Kendall Wright was a zero-star talent. They brought him in. This dude developed him. Like, development's going to be massive for whatever. Like, Pry's going to get recruits. Like, and the more they win games, like, obviously we've been saying that, the more games you win, the more it's going to be easier to get these people, these kids at, like, the top end talent in your state and the surrounding area. But development has always been the key to Virginia Tech. Like, we've always had to develop. You got lucky with, like, you know, you get a Tyrod, you get a Michael Vick. We had the Fullers, but, like, there's a lot of talent that we're going to bring in that's just going to need to – everybody needs to be developed. You can't just stay the same, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for that aspect of it, you know, development.
So where we sit in college football at this moment and where we sit in the cycle at this moment.
Yeah.
Do you feel that this is about as good a hire as we could get? Like, are you feeling sad we missed out on Neil Brown or somebody else? Or do you think, like, no, this fits what we want to do right now?
I'm not sad, because if Neil Brown chose to hang out for a year and be a family man with his family, which he has every right to do, the college coaching grind is insane. Obviously, you know, he didn't have both feet in it. Then it would probably wouldn't have worked out the way we wanted it to. I think that this dude on paper might be the most qualified Virginia Tech offensive coordinator ever, almost. You know what I'm saying? Like, bringing him in as such since what? Ricky Bussell?
At the time of hiring. Yeah, I mean, I don't see how you can really argue with that. Korn was totally unqualified if you go back and look at what he had.
Yeah.
And Loeffler had worked under Adazio, and then he also went to Auburn for a year and got fired.
Mm-hmm.
And who was it before? I guess before that it was Steiny, but that's going way back. So, like, yeah, in terms of what he's done in the sport, we've probably never had a coordinator at the time of hiring with this kind of resume.
Right. Yeah, we haven't, because, I mean, our defensive coordinator for 30 years was brought up under
Yes.
Beamer. So,
Yes.
Well, yeah, he was hired as a young pup and turned into a god. That this dude put 52 points on in the Independence Bowl.
So last year ends, okay? So you're sitting there, UVA game's over, forget about the bowl. UVA game's over, and they say, Dan, do you want Tyler Bowen to come back and be the OC next year, or do you want Phil Montgomery to come back and or be the new OC for 2025? What are you doing at that moment?
I would have taken Phil. No bullshit. I really would have taken Phil. If you would have told me RG3 Heisman, Bryce Petty, Big 12 high-octane offenses, Veer and Shoot, Mike Leach, Art Briles-esque, give me, I would have taken, because I remember watching those, the pot, dude, I remember watching those offenses and being like, oh my God. Like,
I think it's worth a chance, and I'm with you 100%. Like, because you know I wasn't a big fan of Bowen anyway, but like,
right
after the UVA game, despite getting that win, and you're like, hey, we can get a new OC next year, and this is what he's done in the sport, despite some struggles later in his career, what do you want to do? I'd be like, Montgomery all day, every day.
Yeah, if you would have asked me new OC, period, or Tyler Bowen, I might have stuck with Tyler Bowen, because the devil you know. But if you would have given me this man and showed me his resume, I would have been like,
this is
I
not
want that.
Some schlub. I know some people are painting it like his career is going, his trajectory of his career is going down. We're throwing him a lifeline. I disagree with that. I completely disagree with that. If he wanted to coach in college last year, he could have. It might have not been at a power school, but he could have been an OC in college last year, and he chose to go to Birmingham and do that. He might be giving us the lifeline, and I tweeted that. Like, we are not throwing him one, but him coming in because Bowen decided to leave might be the lifeline we need.
Yeah, I mean, if he gets Pry to an extension, which would be cool because it means we're having success. And then, you know, Seifkus takes an NFL job. And then, I don't know what happened. Maybe Phil gets another head coaching opportunity somewhere. At that point, you're attractive enough again to land these name hires that people so desire. And that, you know, we always are like, wow, really? We got this person? That's so awesome. Like, I say that these people so desire, like, I'm not immune to the name hires too. I like sexy things. So, like, you know, like, but,
yeah, hire that makes you go, wow, as soon as you hear it. Yeah. Like, we all want
and
that.
Everybody wants to play for or coach with a coach that gets you to that, your next desired spot, you know? Like, the days of Frank and, like, what's his face out in, Utah, dude, that's a,
Yeah,
it's a lost era, man. Like, nobody's staying 30 years anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you get somebody for 4 to 5 years at this point, like, it was a good run.
And the whole idea of maybe we went with Phil rather than a young and up and coming guy like Taylor, because if Taylor has a great year, you know, he's trying to make a name for himself. Like, he could be up and out, like, real quick.
Yeah.
Now, Phil could do that too, but I think Phil, it's going to be harder for him to leave because he's older and he'd probably want to stick around at least 2 years before he wants to leave. But if in the worst case scenario of like another P4 team who's higher on the hierarchy than us offers him an OC job, it means our year went tremendously well. And like, that's okay.
Yeah. And I mean, Pry, like, I feel like the days of Beamer, like I said, are like that long-term, like 20-year guy, like it's over. But like, I can't see him, like, if he succeeds, I can't see him going anywhere on his own accord. Like, he's around where he's from or where he grew up. The people in town love him, especially if you win games. Like, you get treated like a god. You're not far from your friends and family that you left in Happy Valley. I mean, you can get back fairly quick.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I was talking about Phil, not Pry leaving.
Yeah.
Like, that's
that, well, I'm saying both of them together.
But no, that's best case scenario. The best case scenario is that the team is so good that people want to poach, you know, successful people. Whereas Ohio State decided to poach unsuccessful people, which is fine. Take Bowen off my hands. That's fine.
Yeah, but Bowen, like, and Matt Patricia. What a combination.
I mean, that's a head scratcher for me personally, but what do I know? They just won the national title. They can do whatever they want, I suppose. But Yeah, man. I mean, we want the team to be successful. And so, like, maybe that long-term thinking of, like, I don't want to be replacing my coordinators every year is not what is on even Pry's radar screen, because Pry's trying to win now so he can keep his
Yes.
freaking job. And so
Yes.
he needs a guy who can come in. We don't have time to experiment with offense next year, quite frankly. We really don't. Like, we gotta hit the ground running, and we need to score some freaking points.
Well, the way I read about his offense is kind of simple, like as far as like I guess the concepts, whereas
That was what they always talked about back in the day with Baylor, is that its simplicity is why it's so beautiful, is and it just works if you have the right athletes.
and we have our skill, like our wide receiver room, like could do some numbers in this. They could put up some numbers.
I know. I want to emphasize, like, we don't know if it's going to be the
Facts.
air raid of the past. They had the 33rd best rushing game at Auburn that year in yards per carry when he was there. So, like, and like I said, that could have been out of necessity, but, like, they ran the ball well there, and they ran it a lot. And so maybe if he's a good offensive mind, though, I don't care what it is. If we're throwing, if we're running, I don't care. Put the ball in the end zone. Let's not screw it up at the end of the game on defense, and let's win these one score games.
Much like Sifkis' philosophy, their philosophy at Baylor was kind of the same with Montgomery, where they isolate the weakest player on the other team, and that's what they exploit. So I think we're going to see it's not going to look the same every week. Like whatever works, I think is what they're going to run with. Whereas, if we can throw the ball all over the place, we will. If we can run the ball all over the place, we will. What I care about is protecting Kyron Jones from unnecessary hits.
Yeah. If we had two competent tackles, that would be good this year.
Yeah, especially since some of what he did at Tulsa, where they did a lot of pulling of the guard, and sometimes they even pulled the tackles. So hopefully, from what I understood, there's his offense will cover some offensive line deficiencies, which would be important this coming year as Matt Moore builds up his line and gets these people ready to play. And obviously he has his guys, but they're still young. Minus Remack, who is obviously the real deal. Everybody else is a let's see type of player. So yeah,
And
man.
it's just a lot of moving pieces. That's the, like, even if I am excited about Montgomery and Moore, which I am, like, there is reason to be excited. It's a lot of things that you got to get on the same page before Labor Day. And they have time. I mean, they have the entire offseason. They got this done fairly quickly despite Bowen leaving late in the cycle. Workouts are going on now. They're going to get all of spring ball, and they got to make it work, dude, because we need to have success this next year or everyone's ass is on the line. So I'm very
And
curious to see how it looks.
I like that Pry said in the presser that before they even had the interview, Matt Moore and Phil talked on the phone for like an hour and a half, and they got on the same page about, and that's part of why I hired him was they lined up, like their ideologies lined up on how they wanted to run the ball and use the offensive line and all that stuff. So having those two, arguably the two most important parts of your offense is the person that calls the plays and the people that protect the asses. Being on the same page is obviously we saw it in the Super Bowl, dude. As a Broncos fan, I loved it. Your Eagles controlled the trenches on both sides of the football, and you beat the hell out of the best quarterback we've seen in years.
It's usually that simple. The thing that can humble a prolific quarterback, and we saw it with the Giants and the Patriots twice, is a good D line, good O lines on the other side, and you win in the trenches. And I think our trenches are going to be okay this year, especially with the new addition of Moore. I don't know, man. I felt like I had something and I lost it just now. I'm trying to. Sometimes I had, like, this beautiful thing I was gonna say, and now I'm floundering. But yeah, I'm optimistic. I am optimistic. I may not always come across that way, but I am optimistic about this team, what they can do. And look at what Indiana just did, revamping the entire, you know, it's a whole new coaching staff. They come in year one, they learn all the new schemes, half the rosters from the G5, and they win 11 games. I mean, this stuff can happen in college football. We had a great portal year despite all the BS. And now you actually have some competent coaches on the roster in places that we were deficient. And so who says we can't have the turnaround that TCU had in Sonny Dyke's first year or Cignetti did in his first year or whatever else? Because half the staff is new and half the players are new.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how – and this is why I think when people are, I'm an eternal optimist, dude. I always have been my whole life. I think hope is a powerful thing, and sometimes it's a great drug, and sometimes it's a terrible drug because hope and delusion they hang out sometimes. Mm-hmm. We prize ability to I'm not even gonna use the word to fail upward is crazy. Like we didn't have the greatest we underwhelmed tremendously on the football field this past season. We ended up in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, which is like one of the best non-New Year's Six bowls you can get. And then we fire Chris Marv. The search takes forever. We take a swing at Jim Knowles, almost get him. We get through the whole thing. We end up with this dude from the Cardinals that is like a defensive savant as far as his peers talk about him. And then you listen to him and he's just completely obsessed with outdoing the other coach. And then Bowen leaves super late. It's like, what are you even going to get? Who wants to come here? Da, 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 da. You do all the emotional shit. And then you get this guy that's been there, done that at every level. As far as coaching, like position coach, coordinator, head coach. And he's done it with people that we know, like RG3. Like he's won Heismans. He's won awards. He's had the best numbers. Like just the fact that Pry was able to have the season that he's had and upgrade the talent on the team like and the staff is crazy.
Yeah, failing upwards. It's interesting because you could ask, you know, three other Hokie fans and they're going to tell you they feel differently about a lot of these things. It's like, oh, I never heard of the defensive coordinator. He's from the FCS. This guy's career is going downhill and we're hiring him as a retread. Mid. Team's going to suck. Like there are people out there, friends of ours that think that, and that is totally okay and warranted. And it is warranted to think that way based on us going 6-6, you know, 80% of the time, the last decade, like that, everyone saw Diablo fan accounts graphic of us going 6-6 more than any other FBS team over the past 15 years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I do think where the roster is in terms of the talent upgrades we've made over 4 years, going to be 4 years under Pry, and then getting an actual legitimate O-line coach, a legitimate OC, and a DC that like I really feel like has promise in the sport, and a real strength and conditioning coach who a lot of people that are close to the program believe in. Like this is some of the best, and this I know, like people are going to give us a drink in the Kool-Aid award on this episode below.
Oh, we're going to get called gay.
This is it's not like it's, I don't want to do the year one thing. Cause that was what Witt said, but like, it's a good platform right now. Like what we have, if we can keep it together, if they can win some games and keep it together and some of the talent shines through under this better staff, which I believe to be better staff, it could be a beautiful thing in a couple of years. It's such an unknown right now. And no one has faith because of what we've done.
Yeah. If you had to reset, this is probably the best reset you could hope for, considering all the circumstances around the reset. And shout out Ferg, man, and your boy, dude. He's back.
Yeah,
you've seen the pictures from workouts. Nobody's smiling. They don't look like they're having fun, which is good. And both Ferg and your boy look like they could be the thing in the Fantastic Four, whereas – yeah, you know, Dwight Gaunt was a little skinny, bro, and that's okay. But I like that we have mountains of men, just true boulders, as our strength coaches, and they appear to be working these dudes into shape.
It's cool because Mason Baggett, who is the assistant strength coach, Very nice guy. I've known him for a long time. His buddy Brian has been on our show a couple different times. He's one of my best friends, and we all started the same year at Tech together. Mason worked at Oregon, which was a really cool experience for him. Maryland, he was an interim strength coach there, the lead strength coach there for a time. He worked under Lovie Smith at Illinois. So
That's
he's
awesome.
seen a lot of different really like cool places, brilliant football minds, good staffs, and now he gets to be in Blacksburg. And his wife is a Hokie. They have like it's just great. Like I'm sure he's I haven't talked to him. I've talked to Brian, my buddy, but like he's ecstatic about it. Like he's pumped to be back and hopefully for everyone involved, like it's a long-term deal.
Yeah, hopefully. It'd be cool to see the transformation that these kids go through. And I think it's also promising that these kids felt like they were offended and they were unsatisfied with the fact that they didn't feel like Galt worked them hard enough, and that they want to be put through the ringer, which is what Ferg and Mason are gonna do. They're just gonna,
Which is
because they come
be
from
careful
that
what you wish
gentry
for,
train.
right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. But at the end of the day, like, when there's like 3:20 left on the clock in the fourth, man, and you've been in a battle and you feel better than they feel on the other side, and you see the slumped shoulders and the heavier breathing, like it's a good feeling.
We need to be in better shape this year. Like
Oh yeah.
we need to be in better shape this year. And so it's all exciting. And it's nice to have it done with in February. I was getting worried this is gonna take a little while.
Man, I felt like it would be quicker just by default because nobody's playing. Like, there's no games being
Right.
played.
That was what was taking so long with the DC thing for
I was
sure.
like, unless we were hiring somebody from the Chiefs or the Eagles. But nah, man, we're optimistic. I'm optimistic. If you're not, I understand. I've never really been one to, I guess, be like, oh, well, you're dumb. Why would you think that?
Also,
I know
people
if
don't want
you've
to hear us bitch
ever,
and moan about the hire for an hour. Like, no one
right.
wants to hear that.
If you've ever debated me, I can be a little strong, but it's all out of love, and I always understand, for the most part, viewpoints. Especially if you have a real picture on your Twitter and you're not a troll. But yeah, dude. Like, however you feel about it, is your right to feel. It'll be interesting to see how this thing progresses. What little shakeups they make in the staff room and the support staff that they fill out. We still have some positions to fill there. Pry has completely redone the recruiting department, so it'll be interesting to see what that looks like and what kind of fruit that bears. We are in unknown times in Hokie football once again, but we are in cautiously optimistic times as well.
Yep,
That's
for
how
sure.
tend to view it.
And we got some other fun sports going on right now too. Well, like the OC stuff is fun, and we love football, and it probably is on the top of our minds at all times. But we
Yeah.
got some other fun sports happening, and Lemley doing her damn thing on the softball diamond. What a two perfect games in a row.
In a row. Yeah.
I know it's
Never
like
had.
5 innings and 7 innings, but like 12 perfect innings? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, seven's a full softball game.
I
So,
know. I'm just
yeah.
like, not everyone knows all the rules to
Right.
softball out there, but yeah.
Hey, man. Perfect games are perfect games.
That's right.
And baseball, 27-1. Is that what it was?
Yeah, Bucknell, we beat them. Yeah, it was 27-1, and we
Yeah.
had it. The one kid hit a ball 500 feet, and then the other kid hit a grand slam in his first at bat.
Damn. Can't get any better than that.
No, dude.
First at bat, grand slam, and then wrestling. The lineup is fully healthy for the first time all year. Last time out, we've had some dominating wins recently. This team is definitely built for the tournament, the NCAA's. Winning duels is just a plus, but NC State on Friday in Blacksburg. These two hate each other. Is not your typical friendly NC State, Blacksburg, or Virginia Tech. Oh, we're kind of the same. We love each other, sort of, but we hate each other. No, this is not
Yeah,
that.
it's gonna be
This is
nasty.
not that at all.
That Stanford win was huge.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome, man, because that's a good Stanford wrestling team. And Caleb did not have his best either, but he got the W, and the team got the W. But that was a nice win to get that one, and now to have this on the docket is awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah, and I mean, it's free. They don't charge admission. Come out to Castle. Free admission means more beers or whatever, popcorn. They ran me at the women's basketball game I went to. They asked me if I wanted the small popcorn or the large popcorn. And I was with my buddy, so I was being nice. And I was like, hey, I'll just get the large, whatever. I hadn't eaten all day. I'll eat some popcorn. $40 for two beers and the souvenir or the
Ooh.
large bucket of popcorn. For perspective, my PK's bill before tip was cheaper than my outing at women's basketball.
Damn. Damn.
But yeah, but still, you know, it's a great bucket. It'll be put to use.
Support the team.
Yeah, we are in the official spring portion. Spring game looming in 2 months. It's going to be exciting. All Hokie sports are home that weekend that are playing, so it'll be
Ooh.
whatever you want to do, you can go see it.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll be seeing some cold Miller Lights on the deck at Tots probably. For sure.
I
I'm
should be
retired from the
down.
rail
Is that
business.
April 12th? When's the spring
Yeah,
game? Yeah, April 12th.
April 12th. April
Cool.
12th at 3 p.m. Perfect time because you can do all the morning stuff. And tailgate, and then you can still go out, obviously, afterwards. It'll be a good time. There will be many pods or a few pods before then, obviously,
Yes,
but just
sir.
kind of looking ahead at everything. Yeah, man. Phil Montgomery, baby. Montgomery County.
Yeah,
Phil
let's.
Montgomery, Uncle Phil, the full Monty, whatever you want to call him. You know, he's ours.
He's ours. We got
He's
murder and
our
violence
offensive
on one
mind.
side. We got Uncle Phil on the other.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, the offenses couldn't and the defensive it couldn't be more different, but I think they'll be hopefully they're the perfect complement
Yeah,
to
I'm
each
wondering
other.
how those practices will go. That'll be interesting too. You know, how they kind of play off of each other and learn from
Yeah.
each other and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess one quick I joked about canceling the spring game, but there are actual programs that are contemplating
Yeah.
doing away with theirs, and that would be awful for
Nebraska
Blacksburg.
was thinking about it. And that's a team that draws, you know, like they
Yeah.
draw huge crowds for the spring game. I can't imagine if they canceled it. But it's all in an
Yep.
effort to keep player salaries down. Like that's what they're trying to do with this. They're trying to prevent poaching, and the coaches, if you prevent poaching, you suppress NIL. That's what you're doing. And I think
Yeah.
if I'm the players, like that's almost like, no, we're playing. Like that's wrong. If you
Yeah.
take that from us, that is wrong. But
Yeah.
anyway, I don't know.
And I mean Blacksburg, dude, we love the spring game. So
Yeah, hell
I
yeah.
would be pissed if they ever got rid of it again.
It's a
We
party
saw what life
weekend.
without that was like.
Yeah, we did. That's no good.
We don't
The
ever
spring
get
game is,
stress-free games.
nah, man. You want a game you can't lose, and we get to see all your friends and have a good time on the weekend when you're so far from the season that like getting that spring game, like it tides me over until
Yeah.
the fall.
And the weather's usually good.
Yeah, sometimes it rains, but we've had some good weather spring games the last couple years out.
Oh yeah. Yeah, this past year started out real cold and windy and then it all of a sudden
Yeah,
right
got
when
nice.
the pod commenced on the deck of Tots, the sun came out and
That's
we were
right.
blessed with a good afternoon for sure.
Hell yeah.
Pete, man, you got any closing thoughts on Phil Montgomery? You got anything else? Let you figure out that thought.
Nah, I the thought, you know, I actually came it came back to me, and that was the Indiana thing. That's what I just wanted to point out was when you revamp a staff, yes, there's the downside of this could be a mess. We got a lot to learn. And then there's the upside of look what some of these teams are able to do it with a first year head coach and a first year staff or whatever else. But now we're going to be recording some stuff around all of athletics on 2Deep maybe later this week, just talking some of the other sports and then just bringing you content all throughout the spring, maybe some interviews here and there. But yeah, it's just status quo. You know, we'll be putting stuff out. We just put out an episode about Montgomery on the Sons of Saturday channel. You guys can check that out after you listen to this one. And you'll get to hear what Billy and Sam have to say, in addition to myself. So Yeah, it's typical stuff. Follow us at 2DeepVT on Twitter.
Hell yeah, brother. And yeah, man, I need to get into my interview bag. I haven't quite figured out who.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably at the point now where I'm chasing bigger names, so
I
it'll
know who
take a
you
lot
should
more
call.
work. But yeah, Ghostbusters.
I got one for you. Mr.
Yeah.
RG3.
Oh yeah, but yo, Robert,
He's not working.
what are you doing, dude? What are you doing?
He's not working right now. He got let
You want to
go.
hop on Zoom? Man, it'd be hard to tell what he would say. He might get me canceled. No, I'm just
I mean,
kidding,
he would
but
get you some listeners, is what he would do.
he would. No, absolutely. Shout out RG3. Yeah, he would bring in good insight on Phil for sure.
Absolutely.
Big Phil, only one L in his name, which means he doesn't like to lose much.
Yes. Don't, if you type in double L, there's another Phil Montgomery out there. I learned that
Oh, I'm
today.
sure there's a ton of Phil Montgomerys in the
Google it,
world.
yes.
Yeah. Anyway, as always, man, Pete, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here and do this.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, dude.
Yeah, dude, off-season content is always when you get blessed with it, you got to capitalize on it.
Yes, sir.
So that it's always good to talk about fresh things going on, for sure. But yeah, man, let's whether you're on the depending on what side of the wall you're on with this thing, like I said earlier, I'll hear any opinion for the most part. You know, it'll be good discourse on the timeline and in group chats for the foreseeable future. So, we all just want to see the Hokies win. So that's what we're here for. And as always, man, thank you and go Hokies.